Hello friends, I hope you weekended well. Welcome to another Monday edition of the Kings of Anglia podcast, and welcome also to another step closer towards the really exciting stuff happening. We're less than 3 weeks away from the big kickoff, and Ipswich Town were back at Portman Road on Saturday for the first time since they won promotion to the Premier League, which means for the first time in this season, 2024-25, we can have a proper post-match Monday podcast. And we're going to do that now, friends, with my two friends, AJ and Rossi. Stewie, disgracefully, says he has to see his family and go on holiday. So that's where he is now, sunning himself somewhere, I think in sunny Spain, in his budgie smugglers with a pint of, what's the Spanish beer? I don't know.
Estrella.
A pint of Estrella. Oh, yes. Excellent. A lovely pint of Estrella next to Watson as he thinks about us not at all. But of course, we have to think about Ipswich Town. So let's do that now. Rossi, because you've already dived in, how are you, my young, hairy friend?
Very well, my friend. I do apologise in advance. Someone's mowing their lawn outside or trimming their bushes. Manscaped. Use the code KOA. Exactly. Get 20% off. So if you do hear that throughout, I will mute myself. But yeah, very well. Enjoying the sunshine.
Excellent. It is beautiful, isn't it, at the moment? We've finally got a bit of summer. And it was summer on Saturday, AJ, at Portman Road, as you returned. How's things? How are you?
I'm good.
How was your week off, of course, because you were on holiday last week.
Yeah, I was on holiday last week in my weird kind of in and out holiday, summer holiday bit where I come and go and I come and go. So yeah, I'm good. Enjoyed a nice week with my girlfriend's family in Kent. Got sunburnt. That was good. Painful. Also, the one thing I should mention, and you two know about this because you've seen this, I posted this in our group chat, where I was staying just down the road, it was actually in Ramsgate, there is this Emporium place. My girlfriend Sophie wanted to go there, all sorts of like random crap, essentially. There's just loads of absolute rubbish that you can pick up there. But one thing that I did see while I was there was this, and I couldn't resist not picking it up. Look at this.
So, you know, for people not obviously watching, AJ is now holding, appears to be, a massively oversized Ipswich Town badge. Yeah. But it's like a, what is it? How would you describe it? Is it to be hung on a wall? What is it?
I don't know how to answer that question. Yeah, I think it's supposed to be hung on a wall. I did say before that I'd try and get it behind me during the podcast. I'm not really sure how I'm going to do that. It will be a work in progress, and I'm hoping by the start of the season, this lovely badge will be hanging behind me week in, week out. It's quite heavy, kind of a laminated, metallic-y feel to it. I don't know who made this or where this came from, but when I saw it sitting there,
I had to have it.
Had to buy this, and I'm very glad that I did, and I'm a proud owner of this, showing this off.
Just hold it up again.
Yeah, here you go.
Let's see. That is actually
huge.
I just realised that's actually just a normal badge. You're so tiny. That's
yeah, exactly.
If you put that on
Arrow, it's like a shirt badge size.
If you put that on Arrow Muric, it's about that big.
Yeah, that is his shirt badge size. Actually, yeah. He's got this. He's wearing it on his chest, and if you put it up to my chest, just from kind of like waist size. It is quite large. I don't really know why I bought it, but I don't have any regrets about buying it.
Have you got lots of, for want of a better word, tat related to football, AJ? Have you got lots of stuff that you seem to be someone who might be a bit of a hoarder on that front?
It depends. When it comes to football programs, it's a bit of an issue because obviously having covered, I did like general football going around different grounds. I did Cambridge, I did Millwall, and I've done Ipswich. Obviously, I've gone quite a few, and I have like boxes and boxes. And my family said, "Are you going to chuck these out?" And I'm like, "No. Of course not." So they're all in the box, like in a wardrobe somewhere. Other than that, there's not that much, I don't think. But yeah, I think the big one is programs. And also, as Ross, I think, might have the same thing. I know Stu does as well. The one thing that you always end up with is the lanyards from going to cover games, where you always try your best to return them because you have so many of them. I remember covering games at the start. Exactly. I remember covering games when I was younger and I'd be like, "Oh my God, this is amazing. I'm going to keep this. I'm going to like zip up my jacket, make sure no one can see me having this little token of the game that I've covered." And now I'm like, "Oh, I've got about 200 of them. I don't really want to keep. And then you and just get
it's
back to
your EFL
car.
It's got EFL on it as well. We don't need EFL anymore.
No, and you get back to your car. And I've got like, I probably had one time probably about 15 in my car. But, oh no, I've just got back and I've taken it with me again. And I don't know what I'm going to do with it. So yeah, I've ended up hoarding unintentionally quite a few of those as well.
I hang them. I've got a few from various things that I've covered, like big fight events and stuff, plus town. I hang them in, we've got like a red room where I've got all my cigars and memorabilia and stuff. And I hang them on the big telly we've got in there. And it's a constant battle between myself and my wife, who comes along and just removes them, like throws them down the stairs, puts them in the bin, puts them somewhere. She hates all of it. And then I retrieve them and hang them back up again. It's like a little thing we've got in our relationship, which she absolutely loves. And another reason that we've been together so happily for 15 years. Mm. Friends, we're digressing. Did you go, by the way, before we get to Portman Road, did you go to Margate while you were in Kent?
No.
Good, because it's a shithole. Not worth going.
That's what I've been told, yeah.
Yeah. Not worth going to Margate, friends, if you're in that way. The only thing worth going to in Margate is the Turner Gallery. And obviously, as someone of my...
This is no offence to anyone of our listeners that lives in Margate.
No, I'm sure. I reckon if they live in Margate, they're aware of what...
Just
what
like any views on like Americanisms, it's the same thing with Margate. We love you all.
Okay, yeah, we'll go with that line. What we did love, AJ, was going back to Portman Road on Saturday. So shall we start there? Ipswich Town hosted their old German friends, Fortuna Dusseldorf, the first game back at Portman Road since May the 4th, which I believe is actually this lanyard that I've got here. May the 4th, yeah, the game against Huddersfield, where they secured that promotion to the Premier League. Now, obviously, we're going to talk about the state of Portman Road in due course, because that's a talking point in itself. But first of all, AJ, how did it feel just to be back at the scene of the crime, the scene of the promotion?
Yeah, slightly weird. Because, I mean, yeah, it's hard to touch on this without going into what Portman Road was like in terms of the development. But from kind of a sentimental perspective, it was pretty unique and pretty cool when you go in and you've got the kind of packed out fan zone. There's quite a few fans there. I mean, for a pre-season friendly, I don't think you'd often get kind of 15,000. I know that Town are a Premier League club now, but this would have been maybe like a Tuesday night game in the dark days of the Championship or League One for Ipswich, when they were getting kind of around that number, and we're getting it for a pre-season game against Fortuna Dusseldorf here. So really nice to be back. Really nice to see a lot of people that we haven't seen in quite a while. I think that a lot of fans would have felt the same way coming back. Like, you make so many friends at football, and maybe in the summer you don't get to see them too much, and then you come back during pre-season or the start of the campaign and get to see them all. Feels quite nice. So yeah, really enjoyed it. It's really good.
Rossi, I had a message from a friend of mine who was there with his, I think he's there with his dad, his brother and his son. It was his son's first time at Portman Road. And he messaged me to say, I've just been watching Roscoe do his thing. So you are the face of KOA. What was it like for you, mate, being back, getting your snappy snaps?
Yeah, it was good. Yeah, enjoyed being back. And it was a lovely day as well. You know, the sun was shining. And I can take pictures. Over the summer, I've been taking pictures at the weddings and stuff. But actually a football match, I was like worried I won't be able to focus and all that, but no, it was good seeing all the familiar faces, you know, when we sign in, get our accreditation. Good old Patrick serving the food and having a good little chinwag with him, which was good. And yeah, just as you said, being back at Portman Road, first time since that promotion day, you know, last time, you know, I was pitch side, the fans were on there invading it and celebrating all the players, so it was great.
Excellent. We'll come on to the state of Portman Road after we talked about the game. But let's kick off with the game then, AJ. So Ipswich Town faced Fortuna Dusseldorf. They lost 2-1. Doesn't matter. It's only a friendly. Get the minutes in the legs, etc. Where should we kick off, though, in terms of the game itself? Do you want to start us for 10?
10 minutes?
No, definitely
I don't think I could get 10 minutes out on this one.
Yeah, I bet you could.
Important to stress, this is a friendly game. Please don't look into this one too much. And minutes in the legs is important. And I think one of the things I put near the top of my report was Fortuna Dusseldorf kick off their league campaign this coming Sunday. So this is the final hurdle for them, basically. They are fresher, they're fitter, they're going to be more gelled. The signings will have gelled in. I don't think their team's changed that much from their near miss of promotion last season. So it was understandable that. And you could see in the early stages, they were a little bit more kind of, gelled together more than anything else. Just clicking for them, they felt a bit more comfortable. And maybe the lineup's the place to start here, because we saw four of the five summer signings all in the same team. We saw all four of the new players, the players who've not played at Portman Road in an Ipswich shirt before, all in the same team. And it was good to see, but also at the same time, I think it was a case of just needing to kind of build some of those links a little bit more. You can train all you want, but when you're actually in front of fans playing there, it's a little bit different. So you might have seen, for example, the back line, Ben Johnson and Wes Burns a little bit, kind of trying to figure out how they want to play. I thought Jacob Greaves was really good. Muric, fun with the ball at his feet, chaotic. Liam Delap a little bit isolated up top. Those are the kind of things that I noticed. And it just took a bit of time, essentially, for everything to fall into place. Obviously, didn't then end with the result that they would have wanted at the end. But enough good signs, I thought, over the course of the 90. And it just felt like they started to grow into things more and more. No need to worry. They're just building things up and up and up in terms of ramping up the intensity, getting to know new teammates. And more than anything, it was about minutes in the legs and also just the entertainment of being back and playing in front of fans at Portman Road.
Ross, you were pitch side for the first time then. I guess most people would be interested by seeing the new signings for the first time in the flesh. So four of the five, as AJ said there, started just for, you know, ticking the crossing the I's and dotting the T's or whatever. That's the other way around, isn't it? Muric, this is starting 11. Muric, Johnson, Edmondson, Greaves, Davis, Morsi Luongo, traditional, Burns, Chaplin, Taylor on the left, and then Delap up front, Rossi. So what did you make of the new signings? Just also your first time seeing them in the flesh, as it were. What did you make of them?
Where do you want to start? I think you've got to talk about Muric, didn't you? Big Arrow. Is that it? Arrow?
I'm calling him Arrow. That's what Townsend is known as, yeah. Arrow. So, and it's Arrow. Also a lot easier to say and spell than his full name. So Arrow Muric, it also sounds quite cool, doesn't it? How did you get a sense of just how physically large Arrow is, Rossi, pitch side?
Yes. And he's a bit of a madman. I don't think he was actually in his box that often during the game. He was actually at the halfway line a few times, when it was corners. And there was one moment, I think it was maybe 4 minutes into his debut, he did like a, I don't know how you explain it, maybe AJ's better than me, but like
the outside of the boot pass, yeah, wasn't it? Where he kind of cuts in, he's under quite a bit of pressure. You're thinking most goalkeepers just boot it long, but he just kind of curls it quite nicely, nice, just to show his confidence. Loved it.
Yeah, but don't do that against Liverpool, because that could get
and, he's absolutely doing that against Liverpool. Come on.
Oh, we shall see. But no, we've got some pictures to show.
Yeah, let's have a look.
So obviously this is him in this lovely pink kit. I know you love Heafy.
I bloody love that. I really do. What's it look like in person, Ross? It's hard to tell how bright it is from a picture. What's it like in person?
It's very bright.
I like it.
I think once again the numbers and like the letter, like the black like letters and numbers are like really stand out, don't they? So. But yeah, he was just his, you know, sort of physical self. I think the goal they scored was a very good goal, Dusseldorf goal. I was saying to AJ, I was watching Dusseldorf do that drill in the warm-up. So they're preparing to score a header like that. So I don't think he could have done much with that. But overall, I thought he was just a madman, because he was just out of his box a lot of times. So then Jacob Greaves, let's bring him up as well. Look at him. Got the headband on his hair there. I don't know how long he's going to keep. I think he's going to keep that.
He looks like a proper defender, doesn't he?
Yeah, hairy ass defender like Steve Watson likes. Yeah.
How did he play, Rossi?
I thought he did okay. AJ, you're probably able to add more to this, because obviously he played 45 minutes, but yeah.
I thought he was really, really good. Came under quite a bit of early pressure when maybe the defence wasn't as settled. A couple of really good clearances. He clears for a corner, then clears the corner out. He's involved in everything, which I really liked. He's confident on the ball. He was probably of the four signings the one that stood out the most to me. He just felt so natural. And if that's his level at this stage of the season, having not really played with the team that much, then I think that shows really, really exciting signs. I really liked him. The other thing I also would say as well, is the kit growing on anyone a bit more now? It definitely is for me in terms of having seen it in person. But, I mean, get the Greaves photo up again, if that's all right, Ross. Like, I yeah, I'm starting to like it. Like on the shorts, for example, the outline over the badge. One of the bits that I found a little bit weird when you showed the Muric photo as well is this is a town shirt with like Premier League lettering on the, sorry, Premier League logos on the numbers and the letters, which is another one of those kind of slightly surrealish things to see. So yeah, the kits are definitely growing on me. And I mean, I was a big fan of, I thought Jacob Greaves was going to be excellent, and he really did show it in that game, even though it's 45 minutes. Interesting to see him play with George Edmondson as well, because we'll have to wait and see what the kind of the key partnerships are going to be going into this next season.
Have you got a picture of Ben Johnson there as well, yep. Rossi? Continue the theme. So Ben Johnson, so he started again. He started, of course, in Austria as well. So he looks nailed on, you'd have to say, for that right-sided defensive role. How did he perform, Rossi?
The second goal, we did okay. Maybe out of the four, although Delap, we'll get onto him shortly. I think he was a frustrated figure up top in that first half. But yeah, I think Ben Johnson, just as AJ mentioned earlier, I think him and Wes Burns, just their, you know, partnership, although Wes Burns went off injured, which we'll get onto, I'm sure, shortly as well. But yeah, I think he's just, you know, finding a new way of playing football, because obviously he's been at West Ham, you know, forever. So he's got to just get to know his teammates. Obviously, he's more ahead of all the other new signings, because obviously he played more minutes. But I thought he did okay. But it's still early days. It's only pre-season, so getting the minutes and the legs, and he'll learn his, you know, teammates. But yeah, looking good in this picture, though. Number 18. So once again, we're looking at squad numbers. Do we look too into it? Potentially, you know, Arrow got number 49. That's what he wore at Burnley. So, because that's a bit random. Just go, yeah, I want 49. Surely that's going to be his kit for the season. So depends how much you want to look into squad numbers.
49 is a nonsense number for anyone to be wearing before we get going on that. Just be number one. If you're going to be the keeper, I know Walton is technically number one, but if you're going to be in goal, starting in goal, just wear number one. 49, ridiculous. Delap, should we have a look at Delap before we hear from our Lord and Saviour, Kieran McKenna? So AJ, Rossi says there that he cut a bit of a frustrated figure, and from reading your thoughts on the game, that seems to be the way you saw it as well.
Yeah, I'd be frustrated as well if I was a striker wearing the number 8 shirt, to be fair. That really should. I mean, if we're talking about numbers being allowed, that should really be banned, illegal, and like points deduction territory. Shouldn't be saying that. But yeah, I would not be doing that at all. Not allowed. In general, yeah, frustrated. I think that when Town grew into the game and they're enjoying a bit more in terms of possession, the one thing they weren't doing is creating the chances, and the ones that did come to him were kind of those half chances where maybe the ball just flew a little bit over his head, or the through ball was a little bit too heavy and the goalkeeper beat him to the ball. I didn't really think there was a lot he could have done, but it's also about trying to understand what runs he wants to make, because strikers in particular are all so different. You could tell when George Hurst came on in the second half, they just knew exactly what he was going to do, because they played with him for 18 months now. And when they had that link up for the Town goal with Hurst and then Chaplin and then Tarnas, these are guys who know each other really, really well. So there was that frustration from Delap of kind of thinking, oh, I'm making these runs and no one really gets what I'm trying to do, and I don't really know what they're going to do as well. So that will come with time, absolutely. This next week will be a good opportunity to start to build that understanding a little bit more. But the game against Dusseldorf, the 45 minutes that he had, he was definitely a little frustrated by it.
What number would you wear, Ross, if you were playing professional football for Ipswich Town? What number would you want?
Ooh, good question. My favourite number is 12, because my, you know, the day I was born. And obviously, I'm not going to do 96. That's just ridiculous. Because
96, yeah.
Yeah, it's my, you know, day of my year and my born. But my position, I'm a bit of a winger and I'm a midfielder. I do like number 8, though.
Yeah.
So maybe 8. So Delap can get rid of that. You can give him the number 9 and I'll take the 8.
Halls, 8. AJ, what would your number be if you were playing for Town?
Oh, disaster, because my favourite number's 8. As well,
everyone wants the eight.
I'll take seven. Sorry, Wes, but I'll take your 7, my friend. And yeah,
7.
I feel like a whole seven shirt, kind of. There's something about that. I feel like that works quite well. And then, yeah, we'll have you running down the wing, and I'll just be pulling the strings a little bit kind of deeper in the pitch. I like that a lot, yeah.
My number would be 4, because that's the number I used to wear when I was playing basketball, which would make me a defender. I suppose all bets are off now when it comes to squad numbers, but I'd want 4 so I could play anywhere on the pitch. Right then, shall we hear from Kieran McKenna, and then we can continue this chat.
It was a useful workout. Of course, we didn't play our best. I thought we had challenges probably with some of our pressing and off-the-ball stuff the whole game, but that's... You know, that can happen, and it's good for it to happen at this stage of the season. Of course, we've been prepped the game at this stage of the season as we would in the league campaign. So there were some organisation challenges, but also some individual and unit things for us to improve on against a team who, you know, played very, very well and are further along in their prep for us and are getting ready for their league to start next week. So it was a useful workout, really good challenge. Shame about Wes's ankle, so we're waiting to see on that. But other than that, lots of good minutes in the legs. Look, the Premier League starts later than most of the other leagues, so that's the nature of the fixtures, which is only a positive for sure, because we still have a few weeks to go and we're going to need the few weeks on all aspects. So yeah, playing a team who, I say, a good side, and very close to getting promoted themselves last year and came, you know, ready for the league next week. That was a really good challenge for us, and I think the boys felt that, and it was... It was a tough game, a good game.
How was it being back here? It's your first time here for a game since the Huddersfield one, since you won promotion, all those amazing scenes. How was it being here with fans for a match?
Yeah, it was nice. It was really nice. I think, you know, maybe not so much to link to Huddersfield because it's a different day, let's get it right. But just to see the work that's been going on, I've been down the stadium a few times, but every time you come down, there's a little bit more being done and projects going on. So it was nice for everyone to see that. Nice, of course, to see some of the supporters and for them to see some of their players and some of the new players, and we're looking forward to being back here for the Nice game now in a couple of weeks' time, and of course for the big opener.
Kieran McKenna there apparently stood next to a road as you interviewed him. Should we talk about what we like then, AJ? So we talked there about the impressions of the four new signings that you saw. What did you like though about Town in this game? I guess one of those things is linked to Wes Burns going off with an injury. Not you didn't like that, clearly, but you liked the guy who came.
Yeah, thank you for clarifying that one. I did not enjoy Wes Burns.
Fist pumping as Wes Burns went down.
Yeah, that was
Marcus Harness played well.
Yeah, the Burns one was a frustrating one as well, because you could tell it was going to happen. He pulled up with the injury on 15 minutes, I think, and he played on for another 15 minutes, which for pre-season, didn't necessarily think that was the wisest move, and you could tell then he went down. Oh no. And, you know, get him off as soon as possible, went straight down the tunnel. And it was quite funny that as he was walking down the tunnel, Marcus Harness rushed down the right, having just come on, skinned the defender, got into the box, fired a low cross that the goalkeeper then had to parry away and Dusseldorf had to clear. And it was really the most that Town had done up until that point. And that was the moment when you could tell Marcus Harness had a bit of a point to prove, I think. Mm. And there's been some talk about him, not really directly, there haven't been any links of moves away, but what is his role going to be next season? He had a bit part role in the Championship. How does that change coming into the Premier League? And is that then going to lead to an opportunity for him to move away and go and play regularly? And I think that he wants to now prove that he is capable of doing it. Pre-season is the time to do that. I thought he was really excellent. He was energetic down the right. It's not a role he's played too much for Ipswich. I know he has done it in the past, but for Town, it's mainly come off the left. But he was linking up really well. He was getting into the right areas. He was energetic with the ball at his feet. He was the guy who took the game by the scruff of the neck in the first half and then was the one who scored the goal right at the start of the second half. Such a nicely worked goal where it's kind of Hurst holds it up, Chaplin lifts it, flick on, and it's a really composed finish. He showed a lot more kind of composure than his teammates did in the final thirds, even though he played fewer minutes, and it's really nicely well-taken goal. Definitely now raises a few questions. What is his role going to be? What are the plans for him going to be? Town will look to go and sign a winger this summer for sure, or you'd say at least one winger. But with injury issues coming in, is there a part for him to play in the Premier League? If he can play like that, you'd say so for sure. There's really a lot to like about him.
Yeah, interesting. You spoke to McKenna after the game, didn't you, clearly? You just heard a bit of it. And you asked him about Harness, and he said that is a role that they've talked to him a few times about, and he's quite keen on. And if you remember going back to last summer, again, Harness was one of the players we were talking about saying, can he make the step up? Is he going to do? And then he had a really good preseason, didn't he? He was one of their best players in preseason. I think as a result of that, a lot of us picked him as the surprise package going into last season. So again, it looks like he's come into preseason with a point to prove and a bit of fire in his belly. Just on the Burns thing, AJ, it's an ankle roll injury, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. So we'll have to wait and see what the situation is with that. I think he has rolled his ankle before and came back quite quickly. So hopefully it'll be the same here, but it really depends on kind of the force and the pace that you're running at. It was kind of quite an innocuous collision where it was a quick counter from Ipswich went up one end and quick counter to turn around. And it was just a collision between two players. I think it was actually Schmidt who scored the goal, who collided with Burns. And tried to run it off. Didn't really happen. He looked like he was getting more comfortable, but then he got to that 30-minute mark and went down. So hopefully he's not done any extra damage in that kind of 15-minute window. Fingers crossed. Yeah, ankle rolls are something you can recover from quite quickly, and they'll want to have him involved in this next week.
Mm. What about you, Rossi? What else did you like then? So we heard that Marcus Harness impressed. Is there anything else you like from Town this game?
I think just the goal, really. I think was your trademark, it's your Town goal. You know, Connor Chapman was involved. Jack Clark was involved. Jack Clark, actually, we could talk about him because he's playing that left-hand role.
Jack Clark. You know what's funny? I think I've done that multiple times. And actually, if you listen back to the audio of me talking to McKenna from Saturday's game, I'd stop myself because I went, oh, yeah, and we saw on the left it was Jack. And I stopped and I was like, don't say Jack Clark. Jack Taylor on the left. We haven't seen him too often,
have we? Don't get me wrong.
That's that position we need. He's a left winger. So. Jack Taylor was very good. I think, was he the one of the two players who played the 90? I think Sam Morsey played 90 and Jack Taylor played 90. So it sort of proves those two are up for playing full 90s in pre-season in that heat. But I thought he did really well. And he could have had a trademark Jack Taylor Thunderbastard at one point, but just didn't connect it properly. Playing a different role. I think he has played on the left maybe a little bit before, but like not from starting. But I thought he did okay. But that also does prove that we are very liked at a left wing because Jack Taylor's playing there. But anything else?
Do you know what I like, Rossi? Have you got the picture that I like of... Let's get that picture up.
Just talk a little bit while I...
He's forgotten. The one picture that I specifically asked for you to upload, Rossi has not. Why don't we talk about Jack Taylor on the left then, AJ, while we're waiting for... Because obviously, it looks to me like they're looking to use Jack Taylor further forward. We talked about him maybe being able to play the 10. Left wing is probably not somewhere you'd expect to see him crop up. But how did he do?
I think he's done it occasionally for Peterborough, and I asked McKenna about it. After the game, and he said, you know, we've seen him do this in cameo appearances in the Championship. It was worth testing in pre-season. I sat there with Ross and was in the press room trying to figure out what the formation was. I'd kind of gone and said, I think it'll be Chaplin on the left. We've never seen Chaplin on the left, as far as I'm aware. So it was a bit of a confusing one. It's not something I'd probably like to see in the long term, but I get the idea of it where he naturally wants to drift in because he's a central midfielder, he's someone who's played as a 10. And what that means is that you kind of create a little bit of an overload by him coming in narrow. You'll have him and Chaplin that want to push forward and kind of play centrally. And then that opens up the space for Leif Davis to then wrap around the left, bomb on into the final third. And he was getting quite a few crosses in. I think his crossing's a little bit off in this game. He, again, like some others, he grew into it, but I think he'll need a bit of a freshen up to get back to his peak accuracy in the next kind of few weeks. But I think that is really the tactical side of it is what stands out here. It's what we're going to see in the Premier League next season. And it's what we've seen for a while now. The right side goes wide and high. The left side comes in a little bit narrow like Nathan Broadhead often does. And then that allows the overlap. And that's why Leif Davis gets 8 billion assists every single week. That's what I think the thinking was there. And if needs be, I think that Jack Taylor feels comfortable enough doing that for sure.
Right. So two things that I really liked. We've already seen one of them, which is the pink goalkeeper's kit. Short-sleeved, very much so. Very big fan of that. And also, I love this picture, Rossi, which you took of Sam Morsey. You're going to flash it up now. Now you've uploaded it. There it is. That, for me, is like Sam Morsey encapsulated as a player. So if you're just listening to this, it's essentially Sam Morsey. You call it a handoff, a stiff arm, they call it in American football. Essentially, get off me! Like pushing his hand in the face of the Fortuna player. I love the fact he plays 90 minutes in a friendly. I think it was you that said, wasn't it, Rossi, that there is no such thing as friendly in Sam Morsey's vocabulary. If he's playing to kill and win.
We said that last summer in pre-season. I remember this in Austria. We said the exact same thing.
Yeah, I love that about Sam Morsey. So, yeah, I absolutely love that picture because that is...
And funny enough, Sam Morsey actually won a foul for some reason. I think because the player was...
What, from that picture?
From that picture, okay. From that moment. So Morsey actually won a free kick because I think the Fortuna player was holding his shirt. So yeah, tricks of the trade and all that. So, yeah, well played, Sammy.
I bloody love Sam Morsey. Anyway, anything else in terms of stuff from the game? Because we should probably talk about the injury situation, AJ. Clearly, since we last spoke, obviously Burns was injured in this game. Broadhead news came out after the game as well that he's going to be out for at least 2 months, potentially longer with a hamstring injury. Clearly, that's a blow going into the Premier League. He would, you'd imagine, be one of the guys who was projected to start in the Premier League. Anything else to mention from the game, or do you want to talk about Broadhead?
I don't think there's much else to add on from that game. Let's be honest, this is pre-season. Take everything with a real pinch of salt. It's about trying things out. It's about minutes in the legs. We don't need to go over this a million times, but don't look into these games and these performances and these results hardly at all, basically. Just try and enjoy a little bit of football.
Not good enough, to be fair.
I have actually... Games. Do you know what? I mean, you shouldn't look at these things, but I have seen quite a lot around... What, you can't even beat Fortuna? This probably not, you'd have to say. People with a touch of jealousy from outside the club. Can't even beat Fortuna, mate. You're going to get smashed by Liverpool. You're like, what?
Had anyone seen Chelsea losing 4-1 to Celtic over the weekend?
Yeah.
Things like that. And we've seen Man City getting played off the park by Brazilians. All these kind of different things. No one cares.
Exactly.
No one cares.
No one cares.
Unless you win the Innsbruck Cup, then people care.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Exactly. So anyway, Broadhead, AJ, you got that from McKenna after the game. Bit of a blow. I mean, we already know, obviously, that it's quite a lot of folks in the treatment room. But Broadhead, by the sound of it, is going to be the one in there the longest.
Yeah, I think that Town have had a few players kind of coming in and out with fitness issues in the last few weeks. But this was one that did get flagged up as a concern because he was seen in Bangor watching a game of football while Town should have. But we're in Austria preparing for the Shakhtar Donetsk game at their training camp. It was revealed that he had an injury. They were waiting to see it. He is going to go and see some more specialists and doesn't need surgery, which is a positive. But yeah, I think that this is a huge blow. Potentially, you kind of have to see at least some sort of positives from it in that it could have been worse. We all remember how long George Hurst was out for when he had his hamstring injury. That was half of a season. So if it is going to be 2 months, obviously it is at least 2 months, 2 months minimum was what Kieran McKenna told us after the game, then that is a blow still. But it does mean that he'll hopefully be back in the early stages of it. But then having missed all of pre-season as well, it is going to be tough for him. And he's one that has that Premier League quality. We spoke about him last season, last summer, as the player of Premier League quality that you could really feel in Town squad. So to lose him is a blow. And of course, will then mean that it's probably going to accelerate the need to get some extra wide reinforcements in as soon as possible.
Yeah, especially the fact that we haven't seen Amari yet. I think we've seen, obviously we saw Taylor in this game and we saw Freddie Ladapo play there last week as well. So not options.
Yeah, and on Saturday he came on the left. So they moved Taylor back into the deeper role. It was Ladapo who came on for Luongo. So we then got the Taylor-Morsey duo with Freddie on the left, which was fine, but really not something I want to see in the Premier League.
Yeah, hands up if anyone who had Freddie Ladapo playing on the left-hand side in the Premier League. I don't think so.
No.
Right then, game line drawn under that. No one cares, but it was good to see the minutes in the legs, all that kind of usual stuff. Rossi, the other talking point going into this was, of course, Portman Road itself, because we saw on Friday night the club put out an excellent 40-minute long walk and talk excellent work by our old friend Andy Warren there, walking and talking with Mr. Relentless, Mark Ashton. And it was staggering just how much work is going on at Portman Road. We knew there was work going on, but to see the sheer scale of it, 104 projects underway or in progress, 200 plus workers on site every single day. And a lot of it looked like a building site. So for me, looking at that, A, I was like, wow, that's a lot of work. That's really exciting. But B, they're having a game on Saturday. How are they? I mean, it literally looked like a building site. So me thinking as a manager of people, you think, oh, from a health and safety point of view, that's a nightmare getting people onto that site. What was it actually like, though, being there, Rossi? Because it sounds to me, from watching your behind-the-scenes video and game day as well, it didn't actually appear that much had changed.
Not really for the areas we need to sort of work. Obviously, yeah. AJ had to be in a different, well, I can't even call it a box, press conference, really. Suite. It was just. Obviously,
it was an executive-ish box, but essentially it's the box, and then you walk out onto a row of seats where, yeah, nice padded seats, not a bad view, albeit that was sat next to like a whole tower of scaffolding. But the issue for me was actually an issue across the board, but also for me, it kind of 5-6, 5-7-ish is that there's a ledge which we had to work on.
5-6, 5-7. I love that. People, we always had a little bit more on
somewhere. I'm somewhere in there, I don't know where, but there's a ledge. Oi, you definitely not 5-5.
Okay,
definitely so. Or 5-8. And there was a ledge that you kind of had to work on, and kind of a few makeshift plug sockets in there. So it's quite high. So I'm kind of like writing my report like this, which I'm really hoping that the press benches above us, when they are finished, will not have that. I've been in press boxes that do have that. But yeah, that was unique. It was a different way to watch the game, for sure. Kind of at a lower level, not with pillars in front of us. That was one of the big things. Excited to see what the press box looks like, but that was the big change from our perspective. Lower down in an executive box and significant discomfort trying to write for the entirety of the game. Yeah,
mate, the new press box is going to be amazing. I reckon you're going to have them massage chairs that you're going to be sat on. Little halftime.
All I want is screens. That's the big thing. I just want the monitors, so we're not having to scramble around. This is again the insight into the life of the journalists when you go to some stadiums where they don't have that. Portman Road last season didn't have that. You'll have something that happens, and if you're sat down writing or you're talking to someone, something like that, and you look up, you go, oh no, what happened? And then you're kind of a bit lost there. It's just nice to have those screens, be able to look back to watch it, get a better angle and a better view of it. And I'm fairly confident they will be coming to Portman Road next season. That'd be really, really good.
Yeah, last season you were trying to sort of peek over the shoulder of Shaun Iluka, weren't you, with the analyst team, trying to see if you can
see
the replay as they're watching it. Rossi, what about the... Because we know, I mean, talk through a few of the things. There's a TV studio coming, which Ashton said isn't going to be ready for Liverpool. It's going to be afterwards. So that's a major project. That's going to be above the players' tunnel. The whole players' tunnel area is going to be completely revolutionised, and there's going to be a mixed zone and all that kind of stuff that you get in the Premier League. Clearly, the stadium itself was functional, but did you see lots of things in progress? Obviously, AJ's mentioned the scaffolding there around the new press box, but was it apparent there was lots going on?
Yeah, very much so. The director's box, that's normally where I go and try to find Mark Ashton and a few other familiar faces, but they're in a different position because there's no director's box. They've also, and I should have done this in the behind the scene video, they've actually removed a little gate that I used to always go and sort of open and sort of walk onto the pitch. Now I just climbed over the wall. But got rid of that gate. So I want to know why.
The Ross Hall's gate.
Yeah, other people used it, obviously. But that's gone. But you can see, like, even in the Alf Ramsey stand, there's still work being done. I don't know if they're adding more seats, because I think there used to be like some like posh seats in the upper tier. But you can see that they're still working on that. Obviously, the safe standing was used for the first time. It'd be interesting to hear from town fans in that. And obviously, there's away fans and a big fair play to Fortuna. They brought a good amount. They brought the atmosphere for a pre-season game. That was a good atmosphere in terms of the away end bringing the noise. You can just see there's a lot of work going on. And I'll be interested to know where the Dusseldorf players sort of got dressed, because I think the away dressing room is pretty... under development, because you can see that video, but I don't know how how long that video was until they actually put it out. Like, it could have been maybe a week ago or whatever. But yeah, a lot of work happening. Yeah, a lot of building sites. And yeah, I was like, oh, may need to get my hard hat out if I need to go in these restricted zones. But obviously, I wasn't going to do that.
It's interesting, isn't it, with the away dressing room, for example, is how nice do you want the away dressing room to be? Because we've been in the away dressing rooms, and they were pretty basic. And apparently, they've not been touched since the 1970s. So you don't, when you've got teams coming to Portman Road, you don't want to be living in the lap of luxury in the away dressing room, do you? You hear all this thing about teams painting them like really bright colours or really dark colours to try and kind of get the mental one-upmanship on the opposition. So it'd be interesting to see just how nice those away dressing rooms end up being. The other thing I loved from the video was the metaphor for Town in recent history was the stairs in the cupboard, which obviously everyone saw. You open a cupboard, there's literally steps in the cupboard that just go to the back of the cupboard. It's just a wall. No one knows why they're there. They just are. And that was the kind of the perfect metaphor for Town in recent years. Right then. So that's being back at Portman Road. The other thing clearly we have to talk about is sexy stuff. You had an opportunity, AJ, to speak to McKenna after the game. And he also had quite a lot to say about needing new signings. So let's hear that first. Then we can talk about it.
I don't think there's anything, as far as I know of, you know, very imminent in terms of in the next day or so. We're working really hard. We know we need to make a lot more additions, you know, to have a squad that's, you know, strong enough to be competitive in Premier League games. So we're all working really, really hard on that. And we've still got a few weeks before the season starts and a few more weeks before the window closes on top of that. And I think we all know how imperative it is that we improve the squad further. Yeah, we've got a group and so many of them, you know, played from our season in League One to the season in the Championship, and you know, we know that we've built such a good spirit and style of play, you know, culture in the group, environment in the training ground, all those things. And of course the challenge is to continue to grow that with the players who've been very important to us, but with everybody knowing that we need to add considerably to that group to deal with the demands of the division. And I think everyone inside the club's comfortable with that. The players who have, you know, being such a big part of it are the first ones to acknowledge that and to know that we need to improve the group, and they also want the help because they know that the skill of challenge they're going into. So yeah, I think that's always the challenge, but I'm really confident with the group of players, the group of staff that we have, that we'll be able to do that. It's possible. Look, at the moment we're shorter numbers, there's no two ways about it. With a few injuries that we have, we're shorter numbers. So at the moment everybody who's training with us, and I'm going to include Finn and Leon in that, who've been with us all this week, they're really important to the group. Have to be ready to play a part in the Premier League, so that's just the reality of where we're at with numbers and availability. But of course, you know, as the month develops, if we manage to make the additions that we want to make, then we have to have a squad that's an appropriate size, and we look at, you know, everyone's individual case of what's going to be the best for them and the best for the team. But I say again, at the moment, absolutely every person who's with the group is very important to us getting ready for the season.
Sounded like someone was using a welding torch stood next to they're just getting on with the building around him there, AJ. Interesting, of course, that the manager comes out and says we need a lot of new additions. They've already made five signs. You need a lot of new additions to be competitive in the Premier League. And on that front, we've had various names linked, haven't we? Of course, last week we had Jack Clark, already mentioned on this show. We had Sami Smodic. Clearly, that's a name that's been out there for a little while. We had Jordan James. We had the Croatian striker, Big Musa. And there's another name that's come out this morning, Wilson Odebear, who I, again, have never heard of. But he's a young talent currently playing in the Olympics, Rossi was telling me. So what can you tell us about the latest on the transfer front, AJ?
Yeah, this one got revealed by Peter Rourke of Football Insider in our wonderful world of trying to figure out what's genuine and what's not with the transfer market. Understanding with this one is that this is a player of interest to Ipswich, is a player of interest to Kieran McKenna, and you can see why. He's 19, he's a French youth international, so away at the Olympics at the moment. He's an exciting winger who's got versatility, can play on the right, can play on the left. He's played up front in a two for Burnley as well. He's got 29 Premier League appearances for Burnley under his belt, 3 goals, 2 assists. So there's a lot to like about him there. You'd imagine that Town would be able to offer him fairly regular football given the wide options. it's just about trying to see whether this move is feasible or not. Obviously, Town and Burnley have already been in contact already and got the deal for Arrow Muric over the line. You'd imagine this one will probably be quite a bit more expensive because he is someone that they really hold in a high regard in terms of his potential, in terms of what he could really do in the Championship next season. If he goes and has a really strong campaign in the second tier, then he might be worth a lot more than he is now. So, yeah, this is a player that Town have got on their list for sure. He's one that they'd like to bring in. There'll probably be some fans that look at recruiting from Burnley, who obviously did not stay in the Premier League, and think, oh, I'm not sure about that. But I still think as a person, as a player, as a profile, he ticks a lot of the boxes, and he'd be one that would work quite well. So we'll have to wait and see. But the wide areas are clearly where they're going to be targeting to try and get in as soon as possible. Versatility. All of the signings, apart from Muric, have been versatile. Ben Johnson can play anywhere. Jacob Greaves can cover left back. Who am I missing? Delap can play striker and wide right. Amari can play wherever you want him to. So it's clearly an important one, and definitely Odubert ticks that box and a lot of other ones as well.
Anything else to add on that front, AJ? Clearly, I think that was in that clip, wasn't it, that McKenna said he's not aware that anything is imminent, but they're trying to make signings ahead of going to Germany this weekend, which we'll talk about in a minute. Is there any kind of else you can, in terms of updates, you can bring to the party?
Yeah, nothing imminent. I don't think there's anything that's going to have happened by the time this podcast gets put out, probably maybe not in the next day or two. The one to keep an eye on is obviously going to be Tammy Smodix. That's the hottest link, and Town are talking to Blackburn about it. There have been some reports that a deal has been agreed there. My understanding is that's not the case. They're still having those talks and negotiations. A few rumours that Blackburn have set a kind of a final date of Wednesday to get everything agreed for any club. We've seen Leeds linked as well. Probably a few others that might be sniffing around. But this is one that Ipswich do want to do. I mean, you guys have already spoken about Smodics while I've been away. He doesn't necessarily fit the profile in the same way as someone like Odubert, because he's 28, because he's had kind of one really strong Championship season, but other than that, his best football's come in League Two and League One. So you can see it as a risk, but it really depends on the fee here, and if they can get it for the right fee, I can't complain too much. It's definitely one that they'll push to do. And of all the things they're trying to do, of all the recruits that they're trying to bring in, I think that one is looking the closest.
Be interesting if it does happen, as you say, what the fee is, because I think there's definitely a ceiling for someone like Smodix with his background. I hope they don't go over.
It's trying to find a middle ground a little bit, yeah, isn't it? Because I know that Stu reported that Blackburn were kind of looking for 20 million, which is absurd. They're never going to get 20 million. From Town, from any club going. At the same time, I think a 6 million bid was probably a little bit low, and it's probably going to end up, if they're going to get this deal done, being somewhere in the middle, somewhere between the 8 to 12 mark, I think would be fair, and doesn't become anything that's huge for Ipswich, which is a little bit weird to say considering that we'd have broken the transfer record about 3 or 4 weeks ago. But yeah, this is a club that knows how to negotiate, and I don't necessarily think that Blackburn have the strongest stance given their financial predicament.
Save the money, go after Jack Clark, that's what I'd say. The other interesting thing, AJ, in terms of post-match stuff with McKenna was you had a chat with him about, I guess, expectation going to the Premier League. And he was keen to stress just how big the step up is from the Championship. I mean, he described it as probably the biggest step up in world football. And obviously, there's a lot of good feeling and momentum and real positivity around Ipswich Town. But you get the feeling that always McKenna is got his feet on the floor and he's always kind of thinking logically about the road ahead. And any kind of logic and analysis of this would tell you next season is going to be bloody hard.
Yeah, it is. And I have these different moments where I go from feeling quite confident to thinking, oh, I'm quite scared of Fulham and things like that. And teams who might be in that kind of battle with Town, even when you look at the quality of players, for example, that an Everton are signing, or Town's promotion rival, and Southampton going to get Ben Brereton Diaz, they've recruited quite well. Leicester bringing in the odd big name as well, that it's going to be tough. And it is about understanding that for sure. And I think that we'll get a very strong idea of that from the first two games, as we all know that it's essentially pretty much as tough as you could get. It's just about really enjoying it. The one club where I look at it who've done it really well is Luton. I know Luton got relegated last season, but they went in with a really small budget. They signed quite clever players that will do really well in the Championship next season as well. Really well-run club. And although they did go down, they really enjoyed it and they came really close. Now, Town are doing this on a bigger level. There will be bigger expectations, of course. But it is also just about keeping that positive vibe around the club, no matter what. Mm. I feel like the core group of supporters around the football club have absolutely done that and will continue to do that. But it is important to maintain it because it's so easy to say, oh, they've not gone and signed players with Premier League experience or done 8 or 9 signings or, you know, lose to team XYZ, Liverpool, Man City, whatever, and trying to bring that negativity about, or they played poorly against Fortuna Dusseldorf, any of these things that you can kind of look at. But it's really about trying to maintain this positivity because it's not just the players on the pitch. It's not just the backroom staff and Kieran McKenna, as he said. It's also about having the supporters. They need everyone unified. That's the reason that they got from League One to the Championship to the Premier League. And they're going to need to keep that if they're going to stand a chance of surviving next season. And I think he's confident they'll get that. And I think we're all fairly confident that that positivity will be there no matter what.
Absolutely. Right then, positivity, Rossi. Something positive is happening later this week. You boys are hitting the road. The young guns ride again, just like last summer when you went away to Austria, wasn't it, the two of you last summer? Stu again has timed his holiday well, so he doesn't have to go. But essentially, you boys are off on a jolly. This is, I think it's actually defined as a holiday for you boys. So you won't get time off for it. No, I'm joking. You're off to Germany though, Rossi. You must be looking forward to this. So tell me what the plan is and how excited you are about it.
Guten Tag and all that, but yeah, it was a good time last pre-season. That was obviously that was the first time sort of spending time with AJ, because obviously it was a new king joining us, so we got to sort of know each other a bit more. Obviously we've had a year of covering the Championship and now we're covering a Premier League team, but no, it's going to be good fun. AJ, even though I'm older than him, he's still going to sort of take lead in terms of, like, he's been sorting the trains out. But I'm looking forward to, obviously, we're going to cover all bases. We're going to bring you some behind the scenes stuff.
Lots of behind the scenes stuff.
Yeah, eat some schnitzel, have some German beer, I'm sure. Still things to be confirmed. But yeah, should be a good time and hopefully we'll give you some good coverage while we're out there.
I can't wait for this because obviously nothing can go wrong with you boys on tour. You're going out on Thursday, aren't you? You're staying in Munich?
We're staying on the outskirts in an area called Unterhaching, which is going to be fun for us to pronounce. I'm really looking forward to that. It's just kind of southeast Munich. And then the first game is a bit more northeast on the outskirts. And then on the Saturday for the second game, we're going down even further south to Austria, just on the border to Kufstein. I keep forgetting which team they play on which game. I think it's Borussia Mönchengladbach in Munich, and then they play Hoffenheim in Austria. Okay, Ross knows, that's good. Then they play Hoffenheim in Austria as the second game. So there'll be two good tests. It'll be good fun. I don't know why they're sending us all over the country, all over Europe to try and cover them. But I know the club are kind of staying somewhere in the middle. I think Kieran McKenna said it was about an hour away from each location, so they'll be training somewhere in the middle of that. I believe they've probably flown out today maybe to do another training camp, but it'll be really nice to be out there and for what is essentially Innsbruck part 2, the German version. Yeah, looking sequel, forward to
it's
it.
Like, it's like Hangover part 2, isn't it? Hopefully one of you will come back with a face tattoo. I like the other thing I like as well in terms of kind of how far we've come sort of thing, which I should have mentioned the first time they're away. They're now on private jets. So from last season, when they were obviously preparing to step up to the Championship, you were literally on the plane with them as they flew from, they flew Ryanair, whatever it was, from Stansted. Now they're chartering jets, which is like another like level up, isn't it? Oh yeah. Just getting the old PJ, fly over to Germany. Premier League, baby. Absolutely. Rossi, what are you most looking forward to about getting out there and getting involved, apart from the beer and the sausage?
Oh, schnitzel, obviously, as well. Just once again, like, it's a big moment, like, in your career to, like, be abroad, taking pictures of, you know, a team, obviously a team I support as well, you know, seeing your team in Europe. Obviously, it's not a European competition, but, yeah, just seeing another. I've been to Munich before, but to actually go there to cover some football matches, it's going to be good fun. And just, yeah, just get to see another part of the world. So, yeah, just looking forward to it.
We've got a few KRA listeners in Munich, haven't we? I think... dear old Lindsay, actually, who we met a couple of times last season. He's based in Munich, isn't he? So hopefully you'll see him at the games, because clearly they're going to be fans there, and that's always good, isn't it? Right then, we're coming up to the end of the pod, 55 minutes in. Anything else to mention, friends? I should actually mention before we go, because I mentioned it last week, and it ties in loosely to Marcus Harness. Arnie Allen won USC 304 in Manchester, fought very well, beat a really good guy. And Marcus Harness, who is obviously, we've talked about this again, he's a big martial arts fan, jiu-jitsu guy himself, Brazilian jiu-jitsu, high level, purple belt. He went straight from Portman Road to Manchester and was then pictured on the TV, sitting cage side, and obviously then got to see Arnold perform. And I was covering Arnold's fight, which started, friends, it was meant to start at 3 a.m. in the morning, started at 3:30 a.m. in the morning. So what I did on Saturday night, Sunday morning, is I didn't go to bed until 7:30. On Sunday morning. Essentially what I did was all my work through the night, and then I went to bed yesterday morning for about 3 hours, and then cracked on with the day, which I thought I'd be feeling a lot worse than I actually do. I mean, if I was AJ, I'd say I was going to die of tiredness or something. That would be AJ's little way of explaining it. But yeah, fantastic. Really good to see Arnie win, and great to see Marcus go as well, which he had an excellent Saturday, didn't he? So he came on, played really well, scored a goal, and then went and watched
UFC. I think another player went. I'm just trying to... I saw another player that went with Marcus, so I'm just...
Oh, yeah.
I just can't remember which player it was.
I mean, in terms of players, there were big Wayne Rooney was there. He was slightly further forward than Marcus Harness. But of course, now Harness, Premier League player, big deal. Get the good seats as well. Fantastic.
He should be further ahead than a championship manager.
Exactly. Has been championship manager. Exactly. Friends, anything else to mention, though, other than that, other than Arnold Allen and Marcus Harness?
Follow us in Munich and Austria. Absolutely. Come and join the fun. Should be really good. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. So the boys will be out there from Thursday night. We'll hopefully bring you the first kind of diary of their trip on Thursday night. And obviously, there'll be loads of game days, analysis, behind the scenes stuff that you can follow with the boys. We've actually got a new offer which I think launches on Thursday, which is our best one, £6 for 6 months ahead of the season. So that would be the perfect time to take it if you're not already a signed up member and subscribing, because obviously the boys are going to be producing loads of content out there, out in Germany, and you can be there. If you can't be there in person, you can be there with them. Rossi, anything from you? How's things generally in the life of Ross Halls, the blessed life of Ross Halls?
Yeah, can't complain. Yeah, all good.
Been to any good restaurants recently?
I did. Now I completely forgot it. Bollocks.
Obviously, you went to Marco Pierre White's Gaff in Phoenix, though. We talked about that. I just wondered if you'd been anywhere else.
I went to a nice calf. Like Phoenix has got a lot of calves, and I actually went to a nice calf. So basically, I'm doing a cafe trial.
Yes.
Just doing, you know, just checking them all out and deciding which one's good. But yeah, one is called Blue and Berry, which not the greatest name, to be honest. So, you know, if you're listening, anybody there, change name. But yeah, it was really nice. A nice, but, you know, fry up there.
Not the best name, but a great place to be, Blue and Berry. Pretty much. Have you been to Beach Street in Phoenix, though?
Cause yeah, really good. Yeah.
Is it good? Yeah, that's nice. Basically like a kind of street food sort of vibe, isn't it?
Yeah, and then they've got like different like shops, little shops as well, some nice, you know, clothes and stuff, and obviously you've got the classic, you know, fish and chips and everything like that. So yeah, Beach Street's not nice, obviously, when it's nice. But yeah, obviously it was the Felixstowe Carnival this weekend. So like last night, 10 o'clock fireworks were getting, you know, and I'm not a fan of fireworks. I think they're just pointless, you know. Don't hate me, I'm just saying they're pointless.
You hate all fun, don't you?
Like
the coach announcements.
Fireworks aren't fun. If you've got an animal, fireworks are not fun.
Yeah,
no,
true.
I understand that, but Ross does hate all fun, I found. Like, we're going through different things.
Hey, I can have fun.
Yeah, you
the player announcements.
But from fireworks, the coach, the big whatever. One. Whatever. Even my children's sister, happiness. My sister actually messaged me and said, "Oh, the kids want to go. My nieces and nephew, they want to go to see the fireworks in Felixstowe. And obviously, they know that's where I'm at the moment. Do you want to come?" I went, "No, so I don't want to go see fireworks." So yeah, that's my stand on that. But overall, Ross goes very well. Thank you.
Excellent. AJ, have you got anything else to share before we leave?
Ross the Grinch Halls. No, I don't have anything really else to share. I'll just flash this lovely sign.
Normal size badge.
Size badge next to small journalist. Yeah,
5 foot seven.
Nothing else. Five foot seven.
You always had a few. You always had a few inches on, don't you?
Essentially, literally like a carbon copy of Andy Warren.
Basically, yeah. Separated at birth, maybe. Friends, that brings us to the end of the show. We've hit the perfect golden hour. Just a reminder, the support our sponsors, use the code KOA at manscaped.com for 20% off and free delivery and all that excellent clobber there. Obviously, as I've already mentioned, if you're not already a paid-up subscriber, there's an opportunity to get on board for 6 months coming to you this week, and it would be the perfect time, clearly, not only the German trip, also, but just a matter of days away from the actual serious stuff happening, and clearly you want to be with us on that particular journey in the Premier League. Also, leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. We've not had one of those for a while, and that's great for our egos to see a 5-star review flash up there. It also helps in the algorithms and helps more people find us, and follow us across all social medias. Kings of Anger on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter /X, and Tick. How's TikTok going, AJ? I've had a TikTok update for a while.
The issue is I've been off, which has really
there's
helped.
Been no TikToking.
There's been a limited amount of TikToking, but now that I'm back for another week before I go off again, there will be more TikToking. And I tell you what, I will be TikToking from Germany. And
oh, we need some TikToks from Germany. Definitely. Is that the correct term, by the way? Do you TikTok in the same way as you tweet?
It is now, I'd say. Yeah. You've kind of named it now. So yeah, we'll go with that.
I want to see Rossi devouring some German cuisine on TikTok.
Okay, surely. I'll get something like that up.
And doing pronunciations of places that you're visiting in Germany. That's gold for TikTok. Yes. Not telling you how to.
Where are we based again?
Unterhaching.
Unterhaching. That is good. Right, friends. That's been an hour. Podcast is in the books. Ipswich Town have been back at Portman Road. We've broken that down. We've talked about potential signings. We've talked about Portman Road itself, and we've thrown ahead to the big Germany trip for the boys this week. Make sure you are following it with them if you can't be out there. If you are out there, please do go and say hello and get involved with the content the boys will be producing. Have a great week, friends. Enjoy a week, hopefully in the sunshine, and we'll be back later on to discuss all things Ipswich Town. And the boys, I should mention, I'm going to promise this now, going to do a special podcast from Germany. I think we're talking about that on Sunday, aren't we? So that'd be one to look forward to. And then me and Sue will be back next week, having not been to Germany, and I haven't been anywhere, so I won't have much to talk about. Hopefully you'll have a better week than me, friends, and we'll speak to you next time.